slope and held between two grinning males. No one went in or out of the towering gray-stoned castle. Asriel and Cassian took turns circling it from high above, waiting for any sign of a departing group. But the gates did not open. Nobody even came or departed from the walled city surrounding it. As if the gates had been locked, its people kept within. No villages dotted the hills around it either. The castle seemed to have risen out of the earth and settled there, squatting like some enormous beast over the land. "Briallen has to know we're here," Cassian said as he alit, his latest aerial survey completed. "You think she's waiting for us to make a move?"
"I think the better question is if Eris is still alive," Asriel murmured, shadows whispering in his ear. "I can't get a read on it."
"Waiting is pointless. We should break in, keep out of sight so she won't even know we're there, and be tempted to use the crown on us."
"I told you, the palace is guarded with as many wards as the House of Wind. If Briallen is moving Eris, we'll be better off catching him then."
"Maybe the merchant was wrong."
"Maybe. We'll continue surveillance through tomorrow." Asriel crossed his arms. "I know you want to help Nesta. Maybe Amarin can find some loophole in the laws."
Cassian swallowed hard.
"There's no loophole. If I interfere, we're both dead. And even if I did, Nesta would kill me if I jumped in to save her. She'd never forgive me for it."
He'd had nothing else to do except contemplate it these past days. Nesta's fate was her own. She was strong enough to forge her own path, even through the horrors of the Blood Rite. He'd taught her the skills to do so himself, and even if the laws had allowed it, he would never take that away from her, the chance to save herself.
"I didn't think you'd be stupid enough to fall for the nightgown, but I suppose that's the difference between a female thinking she's a warrior and the real thing,"
the cold-faced leader said as Nesta and Emery were hurled at his booted feet. He chuckled, eyes glassy enough that Nesta wondered if someone had smuggled in a case of wine along with the weapons.
"Hello, Emery."
Nesta recognized the male then. Bellius, Emery's hateful cousin. Emery only spat, "Where the fuck is she?" Bellius shrugged.
"Found the nightgown a few miles ago. Perhaps some other warrior fucked and killed her."
His smile held nothing but evil.
"You shouldn't have come here, cousin,"
Emery retorted. "I was brought here against my will, cousin. But now I'll enjoy proving you and your father wrong." His teeth shone in the dim, snowy light through the forest canopy.
"You've disgraced your father, disgraced our family."
Nesta eyed her weapons at the male's feet, all seated upon Emery's capture.
"Was it you who sabotaged the rite with these weapons?"
Nesta seethed. Bellius chuckled again, though his eyes remained lazy. Flakes of snow gathered in his dark hair.
"I wouldn't call it sabotage, and neither did she."
Nesta froze. She'd seen that glassy-eyed look before on the faces of Eris's soldiers, and that word, "she." Had Briallen somehow ensnared Bellius with the crown? He'd looked glassy-eyed when she'd seen him in Emery's shop months ago, when he'd recently come back from a scouting trip to the continent. Briallen must have intercepted him then, perhaps used the crown to influence the Illyrians to break their sacred rules of the rite, to plant the weapons here. But why? Bellius said to Emery as the female shook with rage,
"You know, I can't let you leave here alive. Our family would never recover from the shame."
"Fuck you," Emery snarled. "Fuck your family." Bellius just eyed Nesta, smiling faintly. He brushed the snow from the shoulders of his jacket.
"I get first crack at the High Fae, bitch," he said to the warriors.
Nesta's gut churned, acid burning through her. She had to find some way out of this. Even outnumbered, unarmed, with no magic. The pure panic and rage in Emery's face told her that her friend, too, was coming up short on any solution. Bellius stepped toward them, and then blood splattered across the side of his face as the guts of one of his cronies spilled onto the snow before him. The thing that crawled over the ridge had been crafted of nightmares, part cat, part serpent, all black fur and sharp claws and hooked teeth. It halted at the edge of the camp, didn't look down at the gutted corpse of the warrior whose abdomen it had sliced open with a single swipe. Blood stained the snow around him in a wide circle. The warriors, Bellius with them, readied themselves. Bellius drew his sword. The creature leaped. Warriors screamed, weapons flashing in the bloodied, shrieking fray. "Run!" Nesta ordered Emery, surging to her feet. She snatched her weapons and Emery lunged to grab a sword as it flew from a warrior's hand and into the snow. A female voice rang out from the other side of the ridge. "Here!" Nesta nearly sobbed at the voice, at the coppery head of hair that popped up, the hand beckoning as Bellius and his males squared off against the thing tearing into them. Nesta and Emery reached the hilltop's edge and slid down, snow spraying. Gwyn waited on its other side, bloodied and in a warrior's clothes, face filthy and torn, but eyes clear. "Follow me," Gwyn breathed, and they wasted no effort arguing as they half fell down the hillside and sprinted through the trees, aiming to the southeast. They ran until the warrior's screams, the beast's roars, were distant, until they faded away entirely. They stopped near a trickle of a stream through the snow, panting so hard Nesta had to lean against a tree. "How?" Emery gasped out. "I woke up before the others," Gwyn said between breaths, a hand on her chest. "So did I," Nesta said. "I thought it was because I'm made, but maybe it's because you and I aren't Illyrian." Gwyn nodded. "I started running and found a cache of weapons almost immediately." She gestured to the blood on her Illyrian leathers. "I changed from the nightgown into someone else's clothes. From a body, I mean." She held up her wrist. "Did you know this thing glows? I remembered your wish for us, that we'd always be able to find our way back to each other, no matter what. I figured it would lead me to you. It must be somehow immune to the magic ban in the rite." She smiled crookedly at Nesta. "I kept to the trees the first two nights, watching the beasts, and I spotted that horrible male and his companions this morning. Saw they'd found my nightgown and displayed it, and I knew they were hunting for you. I thought I'd take them out before they could find you. You led the beast right to them. I learned where the beasts sleep during the day," Gwyn said, "and that they get very angry when awoken." She pointed to the cuts on her face, her hands. "I barely outran that one as I led it toward the camp. My timing was just good luck, though." Emery shuddered. "The mother watched over us." Nesta could have sworn the charms on their bracelets let out a soft singing hum at that. But Gwyn winced. "He's really your cousin?" "I hope I can refer to that sad fact in the past tense after this," Emery said coolly. Nesta offered a savage smile. "We need to keep moving if Bellius or any of his friends survive. They'll want to kill us even more now." 4 more days. They had to last 4 more days. Gwyn said hoarsely as they moved into the wilderness, the snow mercifully lightening. "You two came looking for me." "Of course we did," Emery said, interlacing her hand with Gwyn's, then Nesta's, and squeezing tightly. "It's what sisters do." Chapter 68. Nesta far preferred caves to trees, but as night fell and no caves revealed themselves, she found herself with no other option but to scale one behind Emery and Gwyn, the latter revealing how she'd managed to rest while up one, a long stretch of rope. It must have been one of the items Queen Briallen had the Illyrians leave, presumably for trussing captives or stringing them up or strangling them, and Gwyn had used it to bind herself to the trunk of a tree each night. It was long enough that the three of them, sitting side by side on a massive branch, were able to tie themselves together and to the tree itself. "How did you avoid the creatures climbing up to eat you?" Emery asked Gwyn, who was wedged between her and Nesta. "They were pulling Illyrians off the branches like apples."
"Maybe because I don't smell like an Illyrian," Gwyn said, frowning at her clothes.
"Despite these," she nodded to Nesta. "You don't either. If we're lucky, our scents will mask Emery's."
"Perhaps," Nesta said, voice quieting as the night deepened. The snow had finally stopped hours ago, and even the whipping wind had eased. A small miracle.
Gwyn peered forward to look at Emery.
"How much do you know about the rite?"
Emery tucked her hands under her armpits for warmth. "A good amount. My father and brother and my horrid cousins talked about it endlessly. Any family gathering, all the males told and retold their oh-so-glorious tales from their own rites. How many they killed, the beasts they escaped. None of them ever made it to Ramiel, though."
Emery nodded to Nesta.
"They always hated that about Cassian, and about Rhysand and Azriel. They hated that the three of them made it to the very top and won the whole thing."
"The mountain is that hard to climb?" Gwyn asked, voice hushed.
Emery grunted.
"Hard to reach, harder to climb. It's covered in jagged rock that slices you up like a cheese grater."
Nesta shuddered. "And with our healing slowed to a human rate, thanks to the rules of the rite," Emery went on, "we'll be lucky to make it to the pass of Vinalius in one piece."
"What's that?" Nesta asked.
Emery's eyes shone. "Long ago, so long ago they don't even have a precise date for it, a great war was fought between the Fae and the ancient beings who oppressed them. One of its key battles was here, in these mountains. Our forces were battered and outnumbered, and for some reason the enemy was desperate to reach the stone at the top of Ramiel. We were never taught the reason why. I think it's been forgotten. But a young Illyrian warrior named Inalius held the line against the enemy soldiers for days. He found a natural archway of stone amongst the tangle of boulders and made that his bottleneck. He died in the end, but he held off the enemy long enough for our allies to reach us. This rite is all to honor him. So much of the history has been lost, but the memory of his bravery remains."
"As Cassian's name would last through history," Nesta thought.
"Would her own? Some small part of her wished for it."
"There are a few different paths to the top of Ramiel," Emery went on, "but the hardest one, the most infamous, is the one that takes you through the Pass of Inalius, through the Archway of Stone. They call that path the Breaking."
"Why am I not surprised that's the one Cassian and his brothers took?" Nesta grumbled.
Emery and Gwyn chuckled, but when a beast roared in the distance, they instantly fell quiet.
Nesta murmured, "We should take watches."
They divvied them up, Nesta taking first watch, Emery second, and Gwyn third. And when that was decided, they sat in silence for a long moment. They'd eaten a meager meal of some roast squirrel Gwyn had managed to pilfer from an unsuspecting Illyrian, but hunger remained a vocal knot in their bellies. Nesta leaned into Gwyn's warmth, let it seep through her bones, and prayed to whatever god might be listening that the rumbling of their stomachs wouldn't reveal them to the beasts below.
The fourth day brought sun, bright enough to make the snow blinding, even in the shadows of the pines. Gwyn had climbed their tree to its summit, then estimated that Ramiel lay days away to the northeast, leaving them, should they make it, a day to climb its barren face.
"I couldn't see if anyone else was ahead," Gwyn announced, "but there's a massive ravine nearby with a small wooden bridge.
We must be the first to find it. If anyone else had, they would have destroyed the bridge to prevent further use. We need to reach it before the others do. How far ahead? Nesta asked, checking the knife at her side, the rope she'd coiled over a shoulder, and the Illyrian bow there. Emery had the sword she'd snatched from Bellius's camp, and Gwyn bore a shield and a knife of her own.
Several hours if we can run it, Gwyn said.
Running risks attention, Emery warned. Walking risks losing the bridge, Nesta countered. The three of them looked at each other.
Run then, Gwyn said,
and they nodded. They set a light pace, meant to keep their steps silent and easy, even with the snow underfoot. But running after days of exhaustion, limbs stiff with cold and belly mostly empty, made Nesta's head pound.
We've got company, Emery panted, and the three of them halted. Not 500 yards away stood 6 males.
Do you think they know about the bridge? Gwyn breathed. As soon as she said it, the males burst into a sprint, not toward them, but toward the ravine. Swearing, Nesta launched into movement with Gwyn and Emery close behind, snow flying at their feet.
Hurry,
she shouted. Through the trees ahead, the world lightened, as if the forest had stopped. It had, she realized, at the ravine's edge, now equidistant between them and the males. Whoever made it first would cut the bridge behind them. And if they both reached the bridge at the same time,
we have to intercept them, Nesta panted,
well before they reach the bridge. She altered her trajectory abruptly, and Emery and Gwyn moved with her as one. The males aiming for the bridge seemed to realize their enemy was now coming right at them. They slowed, reaching for their weapons. Nesta found her target, a male with a good foot on her, and swiped with her dagger as she careened into him. He'd been running fast enough that he lost his balance and went down as he dodged her blow, precisely where she wanted him, right in front of Emery. Nesta pivoted to the next male as her friend drove her sword into the first male's chest. The next male Nesta attacked was ready, swiping with a short sword. She ducked, twirling away, allowing him to land the blow on Gwyn's shield, just as Gwyn ducked, slashing across his shins with a dagger. The four others. Nesta weaved and bobbed against another male, dagger to dagger. Each movement sang in perfect harmony with her breath. Each pivot of her body, her limbs, was part of a symphony. The male swung broadly at Nesta, and she glimpsed her opening. She let his blow go wide before slamming her elbow into his nose. Bone met bone with a crunch that rang through her. He went down with a grunt, and Nesta's blade slashed silver and red across his throat. She didn't let herself feel the warm slickness of his blood. Another male already charged at her, and Gwyn shouted Nesta's name, grabbing her attention just before the priestess chucked a shield to her. Nesta caught it, spinning in the snow on one knee as she absorbed the impact of its weight. Expelling her breath in a mighty exhale, she lifted the shield high as the male brought down a sword meant for her head. Nesta met the blow, thrusting the shield upward and knocking the male off balance. She slammed her knife into his boot. He screamed, falling backward, and Nesta leaped to her feet, swinging the shield so hard it dented as it slammed into his head. The reverberations bit into her hand and forearm, but she kept her grip on the shield. Nesta whirled to the next opponent. But her friends had halted. The males around them were down. Utter silence filled the snowy forest. Even the birds in the pines had stopped chirping.
Valkyries,
Emery said, eyes blazing bright. Nesta grinned through the blood she knew was splattered on her face.
Hell yes.
4 fucking days, Cassian hissed from where he and Azrael monitored the castle. We've been sitting on our asses for 4 fucking days. Azrael sharpened truth-teller. The black blade absorbed the dim sunlight trickling through the forest canopy above.
It seems you've forgotten how much of spying is waiting for the right moment. People don't engage in their evil deeds when it's convenient to you.
Cassian rolled his eyes.
I stopped spying because it bored me to death. I don't know how you put up with this all the time.
It suits me. Asriel didn't halt his sharpening, though shadows gathered around his feet. Cassian blew out a breath.
I know I'm being impatient. I know that. But you really think we shouldn't go up to that damn castle and peek inside?
I told you. Their castle is too heavily warded and full of magical traps that would trip up even Helion. Beyond that, Briallen has the crown. I've no interest in explaining to Rhys and Feyre why you died on my watch. And even less interest in explaining it to Nesta.
Cassian stared toward the castle.
You think she's alive?
The question haunted him with every breath these last few days. You'd know if she died, Asriel said, pausing his work and looking up at Cassian. He tapped his brother's chest with a scarred hand. Right here. You'd know, Cass.
There are plenty of other unspeakable things that could be happening to her,
Cassian said, voice thickening. To Emery and Gwyn. The shadows deepened around Asriel, his siphons gleaming like cobalt fire.
We trained them well, Cassian. Trust in that. It's all we can do.
Cassian's throat tightened, but emotion drew Asriel's gaze away. Cassian shot to his feet.
Someone is leaving the castle.
The two of them wordlessly launched into the skies, entering the cloud cover within moments. In the chill, thin air, Cassian glimpsed only what the gaps in the clouds offered. But it was enough. A small caravan had left the eastern city gates, departing down the bare road that led through the hills.
I don't see a prison wagon, Cassian said over the wind.
Asriel's gaze remained on the earth below.
They don't need one, he said with quiet venom.
Cassian had to wait until the next gap in the clouds to see.
No,
they hadn't needed a prison wagon, because riding atop a white horse at the front of the party, side by side with a hunched small figure, was Eris.
Stupid asshole,
Cassian snarled. She snared him with the crown.
No,
Az said quietly.
Look at his left. He's still got the dagger at his side. If he was in her thrall, he'd have already handed it over.
So, possessing another made object does protect him against the crown. Which meant,
traitor,
Cassian spat. I don't know why I'm surprised. His hands curled into fists.
Let's get him, drag his ass home and tear him apart. He'd been drawn away from Nesta for this? For Eris's games?
Asriel's voice cut through the howling wind.
We follow them. Capture Eris now, and we might not get anything out of him. At least not quickly. We trail them and learn just how far this betrayal goes. See who they are meeting with. It has to be important for them to leave the safety of the castle.
There was no arguing with the logic of it, even if Cassian's heart screamed at him with every flap of his wings to fly back home. Nesta, Emery, and Gwyn hadn't even reached the bridge when a new group of males closed in, armed with bows and arrows.
We can make it,
Emery panted, sprinting at the head of their pack toward the bridge, now visible through the snow-crusted trees.
We can outrun them.
Arrows whizzed past. Emery hit the bridge first, the rickety contraption bouncing with her weight as she practically flew across it. Arrows thudded into the trees, the ground, the bridge posts, and Nesta didn't hesitate as she raced over the slats, not daring to look at the plunge below to a barren riverbed. Only at Emery as she cleared the bridge. A scream of pain blasted behind them, and Nesta whirled at the end of the bridge to find Gwyn still on the other side with an arrow through her thigh. Down, too close to the males closing in.
Cut it!
Gwyn roared.
Get up,
Nesta ground out.
Get up!
The priestess tried. She made it to her feet, but she'd never crossed the bridge in time. So Nesta took the Illyrian bow off her shoulder, took the coil of rope off too, and handed it blindly to Emery. Tie one end to that tree and then around yourself. Nesta didn't wait to see if she was obeyed before she knotted the other end to the arrow, fitted the arrow into the bow.
We didn't learn archery,
Emery breathed. But Nesta knocked the arrow in place, took aim, right at Gwyn, who eyed the rope tied to the arrow, the other end around the tree in Emery, and understood.
My sister taught me.
Nesta's arms trembled as she drew back the string.
A long time ago.
Teeth gritted, grunting, Nesta strained for every inch, aimed for Gwyn as her friend ran across the bridge, hobbling, face white with pain, leaving a trail of blood in the snow behind her. Nesta let the arrow soar as the first of the males broke through the trees. It flew true, landed in the snow at Gwyn's feet. The priestess grabbed the arrow and wrapped the rope around her middle, over and over again as she ran for the bridge. Nesta dropped the bow. Gwyn had reached the bridge's far side and was yelling, "Cut it! Cut it! Cut it!" The males cleared the trees. They raced toward the bridge and the limping Gwyn, gaining on her fast. Nesta had only to throw out a hand before Emery tossed the sword to her. Gwyn, limping halfway down the bridge, didn't stop moving. The males were only a few feet behind, crowding onto the rickety structure. Nesta brought the blade down on the bridge's ropes. Even as the wood fell out from beneath her, Gwyn still seemed to be running, then leaping into the air, only that rope around her middle to keep her from death as she began to plunge. But Nesta had grabbed onto the rope, dropping before the bridge post and wrapping her legs around it, holding on tightly as inch after inch of rough fiber ripped through her hands. Behind her, braced against the pine tree, Emery held on just as tightly. Gwyn fell toward the ravine floor, Illyrian males shrieking as they tumbled untethered with her. Nesta screamed, her palms on fire. Red coated the rope, but she clamped her torn hands tighter and breathed through the ripping, tearing sensation, until Gwyn halted her plunge, yanked to a stop. The entire world seemed to suck in a breath as Nesta waited for the snap of the rope. But Gwyn only careened toward the rock face, grunting in pain as she hit. The Illyrians who had fallen had carried the only bows, thankfully, and the males on the other side cursed and spat. But Nesta and Emery paid them no heed as they hauled Gwyn upward, bloodied hands turning the rope redder still. Each pull had Nesta panting against the pain until Gwyn cleared the cliff edge, grimacing as the arrow through her thigh touched the ground. It had been a clean shot, but blood soaked her leg. Her face was already pale.
"Fucking bitches!"
one of the males roared.
"Oh, shut up!"
Emery bellowed across the ravine, helping Nesta and Gwyn into the snowy trees, their breaths puffing out before them.
"Find something new to call us."
They managed to slide the arrow out of Gwyn's leg and bind it using an extra shirt they'd taken from a dead warrior. But the priestess still limped. Her face had grown ashen, and even propped up between Nesta and Emery, she kept their pace glacial. They continued toward Ramiel, now visible ahead of them. They encountered no one else. It began snowing again around midday, and Gwyn's steps grew staggered, her breathing too labored. Soon Nesta and Emery were half carrying her between them. By the time evening fell, just getting Gwyn high into a tree took all their remaining strength. They secured themselves to its trunk with the bloodied rope, and Nesta and Emery idly plucked tiny rope fibers from their torn hands. They had no more food, only water. The next day was the same. Slow walking, snow flurries, ears straining for any hint of other warriors. Too many breaks, only water to fill their bellies, and, as night fell, a new tree. But this tree was the very last before a barren slope rose above them, like a black beast. They'd made it to the foot of Ramiel. Nesta awoke before dawn, checked that Gwyn breathed, that her leg hadn't become infected, and stared at the black and gray slope ahead. Far up, too far, lay its peak, with the sacred black stone. Three stars glinted above the mountain, Arctos and Orestes to the left and right, Corinth crowning them. Their light flared and waned, as if invitation and challenge. "Cassian told me only 12 have made it this far," Nesta murmured to her friends. "We've already earned the title of Orvistian just by being here." Emery stirred. "We could stay up here today, wait it out overnight, and be done at dawn. To hell with any titles." It was the wise thing to do, the safe thing to do. "That path?" Nesta said, pointing to a small one along Ramiel's base. "Could also take us down south. No one would go that way, because it takes you away from the mountain. So we'd come all this way and just hide?" Gwyn said, voice hoarse. "You're hurt," Nesta countered, "and that is a mountain in front of us." "So rather than try and fail," Gwyn demanded, "you would take the safe road?"
"We would live," Emery said carefully.
"I'd love nothing more than to wipe the smirks off the lips of the males in my village, but not at this cost. Not if it costs us you, Gwyn. We need you to live."
Gwyn studied Ramiel's craggy, unforgiving slope. Not much snow graced its sides, like the wind had whipped it all away, or the storms had avoided its peak entirely.
"Is it living, though, to take the safe road?"
"You're the one who's been living in a library for 2 years," Emery said. Gwyn didn't flinch.
"I have, and I'm tired of it."
She surveyed the blood-soaked leather along her thigh.
"I don't want to take the safe road."
She pointed to the mountain, to the slender path upward.
"I want to take that road."
Her voice thickened.
"I want to take the road that no one dares travel, and I want to travel it with you too. No matter what may befall us, not as Illyrians, not for their titles, but as something new, to prove to them, to everyone, that something new and different might triumph over their rules and restrictions."
A cold wind blew off Ramiel's sides, whispering, murmuring.
"They call this climb the breaking for a reason,"
Emery countered gravely. Nesta added, "We haven't eaten in days. We're down to the last of our water. To climb that mountain?"
"I have been broken once before," Gwyn said,
her voice clear.
"I survived it, and I will not be broken again, not even by this mountain."
Nesta and Emery kept silent as Gwyn released a sharp breath.
"A commander from Hybern raped me 2 years ago. He had his soldiers hold me down on a table. He laughed the entire time."
Tears gleamed in Gwyn's eyes.
"Hybern attacked in the dead of night. We were all asleep when they broke into the temple and began the slaughter. I shared a room with my twin, Katrin. We woke at the first of the screaming from the walls. Katrin was always the strong one, the smart and charming one. After our mother died, she took care of me, looked out for me. And that night, she ordered me to protect Sangreva's children while she ran right for the temple walls."
Gwyn's voice shook.
"When I reached the children's dorm, the slaughter was only a few halls away. I gathered the children, and we ran for one of the catacomb tunnels. They were accessible through a trap door in the kitchen, and I'd gotten the last child in when I heard the soldiers coming. I knew they'd find us if I went and left the door uncovered, so I threw a rug over it and then moved the kitchen table atop it. I'd just finished moving the table when the soldiers found me."
Nesta couldn't breathe. Gwyn stared at the mountain rising high above. Even the wind had seemed too quiet to hear her words.
The screaming had stopped, and they had other priestesses with them, including Katrin. But their commander walked in and asked me where the rest of us were. They wanted the children, too. The girls.
Nesta could hear Emery's thundering heart, its frantic beat echoing her own. Gwyn swallowed.
I told him the children had taken the mountain road to get help. He didn't believe me. So he grabbed Katrin, because our scents were nearly identical, you see, and told me that if I didn't reveal where the children were, he'd kill her. And when I didn't give the children up, her mouth shook. He beheaded Katrin, right there, along with two other priestesses. And then he told his soldiers to go to work on us. He claimed me. I spat in his face.
Tears slid down her cheeks.
And then he went to work.
Nesta's heart cracked.
I hadn't yet participated in the Great Rite, and we were so remote up there that I'd never had the chance to lie with a male. And he took that from me, too. And then he called over three of his soldiers and told them to keep going until I revealed where the children had gone.
Nausea roiled Nesta's gut. She couldn't have moved if she'd wanted to.
The first had just unbuckled his belt when Azrael arrived.
Silent, unending tears streamed down Gwyn's face.
Azrael slaughtered all of them within moments. He didn't hesitate. But I could barely move. And when I tried to get up, he gave me his cloak and wrapped me in it. Morrigan arrived a few minutes later, and then Rhysand appeared. And it became clear some of the soldiers had gotten away with the piece of the cauldron. So Azrael headed after them. Moor healed me as best she could, then brought me to the library. I couldn't bear to be at the temple with the others, to see Katrin's grave and know I failed her, to see that kitchen every day for the rest of my life. The first 5 months I was at the library, I barely spoke. I didn't sing. I went to the priestess who counsels all of us, and sometimes I just sat there and cried, or screamed, or said nothing. And then I began working with Meryl, upon Clotho's request, and the work focused me, motivated me to get out of bed each morning. I started singing during the evening service, and then you came along, Nesta.
Gwyn's eyes slid to hers, brimming with tears and pain and hope. Precious, beautiful hope.
And I could tell something bad had happened to you, too. You were fighting it, though, not letting it master you. I knew Katrin would have been the first to sign up for training, so I did, too. But even training these months hasn't erased the fact that I let my sister die. You asked me once why I don't wear the hood or the invoking stone. That stone is a sign of holiness. How can someone like me wear it?
Gwyn stopped at last, as if waiting for them to damn her. But tears were running down Emery's face. They didn't halt as Emery took Gwyn's hand and said,
"You are not alone, Gwyn. Do you hear me? You are not alone."
Nesta took Emery's other hand as her friend went on.
"We have suffered differently, but my father once beat me so badly he broke my back. He kept me in bed for weeks while I healed, telling people I was ill, but I wasn't. It was one of the lesser of his evils."
She paused.
"He beat my mother before that, and I think she shielded me from him because he never laid a hand on me until she was gone. until he beat her so badly she couldn't recover. He made me dig her grave on a night with a new moon and told people she'd miscarried a babe and died from blood loss.
She angrily wiped a tear away.
Everyone believed him. They always believed him. He was so charming to them, so smart. Whenever people told me how lucky I was to have such a good father, I wondered if I'd imagined all the bad parts. Only my scars, my wings, reminded me of the truth. And when he died, I was so happy. Yet they expected me to mourn him. I should have told them all what a monster he was, but I didn't. They had turned a blind eye to my wing clipping while he was alive. Why should they bother to believe the truth now that he was among the honored dead?
Emery's nose crinkled.
I still feel his fists on me. Still feel the impact of him slamming my head into a wall, or crunching my fingers in a door, or just railing on me until I blacked out.
She was shaking, and Nesta squeezed her hand tighter.
He never gave me any money or allowed me to earn my own, never let me eat more than he deemed appropriate, and wormed his way so far into my mind that I still hear him when I look in the mirror or make a mistake.
She swallowed.
I came to training because I knew he'd have forbidden it. I came to training to get his voice out of my head and to know how to stop a male if one ever puts another hand on me again. But none of it will ever bring my mother back, or the fact that I hid while my father took out his rage upon her. Nothing will ever make that right. But this mountain?
Emery pointed to the small dirt path at the base of the peak.
I'll climb it for my mother. For her, I'll face the breaking and go as far as I can.
The two of them looked to Nesta, but her gaze remained upon the mountain, its peak, that path leading up to it, the hardest of all the routes. Finally, Nesta said, I was sent to the House of Wind because I had become such a wretch, drinking and fucking everything in sight. My family couldn't stand it. For more than a year, I abused their kindness and generosity, and I did it because, she exhaled a shuddering breath, my father died during the war, before my eyes, but I did nothing to stop it. And then it all came out. She told the two of them every horrible thing she had done and thought and savored, told them of the cauldron and its terror and pain and power, told them the worst of her, so that if they decided to risk climbing that mountain with her, they'd go into it with their eyes open, so that they could choose to pull back now. And when Nesta finished, she braced herself for the disappointment in their faces, the disgust. Gwyn's hand slid into hers, though. Emery tightened her grip on Nesta's other hand, too. Neither of you is to blame for what happened, Nesta whispered. Neither of you failed anyone.
Neither did you,
Emery said softly. Nesta gazed at her friends and saw pain and sorrow in their tear-streaked faces, but also the openness of letting each other see the broken places deep inside, the understanding that they would not turn away. Nesta's eyes stung as Gwyn said,
So, we climb, Ramiel. We take the breaking. We win to prove to everyone that something new can be as powerful and unbreakable as the old rules. That something no one has ever seen before, not entirely Valkyrie, nor entirely Illyrian, can win the blood rite.
No, Nesta said at last. We win to prove to ourselves that it can be done. She bared her teeth in a feral grin at the mountain.
We win the whole damn thing.
Chapter 69. Eris and the small caravan rode eastward for 3 days, stopping only to eat and sleep. Their pace was leisurely, and from the glimpses Cassian and Azrael got through the clouds, it seemed Eris was unchained. Briallen's small, hunched figure rode at his side each day, but they caught no sign of the crown on her, no glint of gold in the sun. The blood rite would end the next day. Cassian had heard nothing of Nesta, felt nothing, but he barely slept, had hardly been able to keep his focus on the party ahead as they entered a low-lying forest beyond the hills, ancient and knotted and full of hanging moss.
"I've never been here before," Azrael murmured over the wind. "It feels like an old place. It reminds me of the middle."
Cassian kept his silence, didn't speak as they trailed their quarry deeper into the wood to a small lake in its center. Only when the party halted at its dark shores did Azrael and Cassian land nearby, begin their silent tracking on foot. The group must not have been concerned about being overheard, because Cassian could make out their words from well beyond their campsite along the shore. 20 of them had gathered, a mixture of what looked like human nobility and soldiers. Eris's white stallion had been hitched to a branch, but the male...
"Over here, Cassian,"
Eris crooned. Cassian whirled and found the High Lord's son holding a knife at his ribs. By midday, Nesta could barely breathe. Gwyn was dragging, Emery was panting, and they'd begun to ration their water. No matter how high they climbed, how many boulders they cleared along the narrow path, the peak grew no closer. They saw no one else, heard no one else. A small mercy. Nesta's breath singed her lungs. Her legs wobbled. There was only the pain in her body and the relentless circling of her thoughts, as if they were vultures gathering to feast. She just wanted to turn off her mind. Was it possible that the breaking wasn't merely physical, but mental as well? That this mountain somehow dredged up every bit of her fear and sucked her mind deep into it? They halted for lunch, if water could be called lunch. Gwyn's leg was bleeding again, her face ghostly white. None of them spoke. But Nesta noted their haunted eyes, knew they heard their own horrors. They rested for as long as they dared, then moved again. Keep going upward. That was the only way. Step to step to step.
"It looks like we're 2/3 of the way up," Emery rasped from ahead.
Night had fallen, the moon bright enough to keep the breaking's path illuminated, to show those 3 stars above Ramiel's peak, beckoning, waiting. If they reached it by dawn, it'd be a miracle.
"I need to rest," Gwent said faintly. Just another minute."
Her face was gray, her hair limp, the leathers along her leg soaked red. Emery had taken a spill on a loose rock 2 hours earlier and twisted her ankle. She was limping now as well. They were moving too slowly.
"The pass of Analius isn't too far ahead," Emery insisted. "If we can make it through the archway, then it's a clear shot to the top."
Gwyn breathed.
"I'm not sure if I can."
"Let her rest, Emery," Nesta said, sitting on a small boulder beside Gwyn. Dawn had to be 4 hours off, and then it would be over. Would it matter if they'd reached the peak by then? If they'd won? They'd gotten this far,
How did they get here?"
Gwyn asked, swearing. Nesta went still. From her vantage point, she could see straight down to where a beam of moonlight illuminated a familiar-looking male and 6 others climbing the mountain behind them. A good ways back, but closing in.
"Bellius,"
Emery whispered.
We need to go,
Nesta said, lurching to her feet. Gwyn followed, wincing. Nesta sized up the males. Emery and Gwyn were too injured to fight, too exhausted, and
put your arms around my neck,
Nesta said, offering her back to Gwyn.
What?
Nesta did it for her. She had climbed the 10,000 stairs of the House of Wind up and down, over and over and over again. Perhaps for this very moment.
We're winning this fucking thing,
Nesta said, bending to grab Gwyn's legs, teeth gritted. Nesta hoisted Gwyn onto her back. The muscles in her thighs strained, but held. Her knees did not buckle. Her gaze lay on the terrain ahead. She would not look behind. So Nesta began to climb, Emery limping beside her. With the wind as their song, Nesta and Emery found their rhythm. They climbed, squeezing and slithering and hauling their weight. And the males fell behind, like the mountain was silently whispering, go, go, go!
I knew you were a lying bastard, Cassian said through his teeth.
Azrael, a step away, could do nothing. Not with Eris angling that knife, Nesta's dagger, into Cassian's ribs. He could have sworn flame seared into him where the knife met his leather.
But this is low, even for you.
Honestly, I'm disappointed in Rhysand, Eris said, digging the tip of the knife through Cassian's leather enough for him to feel its bite, and that ripple of searing flame. Whether it was Eris's power through the blade, or whatever Nesta had made it into, he didn't care. He just needed to find some way to avoid it piercing his skin.
He's become so bland these days. He didn't even try to look into my mind.
You can't win this, Azrael warned with quiet menace. You're a dead male walking, Eris. Have been for a long time.
Yes, yes, all that old business with the Morrigan. How boring of you to cling to it so.
Cassian blinked. The Morrigan? Eris never referred to her like that.
Let him go, Briallen, Cassian growled. Come play with us instead.
The maid dagger slid away from his ribs, and a withered, reedy voice said from nearby,
I'm already playing with you, Lord of Bastards.
Nesta's legs shook. Her arms trembled. Gwyn was a half-dead weight at her back. The blood loss had made her so weak it seemed she could barely hold on. The breaking flowed through an archway of black stone where the path became broader and easier. The path of Aenelius. Emery had paused only long enough to run a bleeding hand over the stone, her dirty face full of wonder and pride.
I'm standing where none of my ancestors have been before, she whispered.
A voice choked. Nesta wished she could pause alongside her friend, could marvel with her. But to stop even for a breath, Nesta knew that once she halted, she wouldn't be able to move again. The flattening of the earth around the archway was only a temporary relief. They soon reached a cluster of stones, the last of the impossible climbing before it seemed to become a direct path to the top. Dawn remained a good 2 hours off. The full moon's light was beginning to fade as it sank toward the west. The group of males would catch them before the summit. Nesta's fingers spasmed as she reached for Emery's outstretched hand, where her friend knelt atop one of the sharp boulders. If they could get past this section. Her knees buckled, and Nesta went down, face smacking into a rock so hard stars burst across her vision. But all she could do was hold on to Gwyn as they tumbled and slammed into rocks and gravel and rolled downward. Emery's screams ringing in her ears. And then Nesta collided with someone hard. No, not someone, though she could have sworn she felt warmth and breath. She'd hit the archway of stone. They'd fallen all the way back down the pass of Inalius, dangerously close to the males who pursued them.
Gwyn, alive,
her friend groaned. Emery slid to her knees on the path.
Are you hurt?
Nesta couldn't move as Gwyn untangled herself. The two of them were covered in dirt, debris, and blood.
I can't, Nesta panted. I can't carry you anymore.
Silence fell.
So we rest, Gwyn managed to say. Then we continue.
We'll never make it in time, Nesta said, or at least before the males catch up. Emery swallowed.
We try anyway.
Gwyn nodded.
Rest a minute first. Maybe the dawn will reach us before they do.
No. Nesta peered down the path. They're climbing too fast. Again, silence.
What are you saying?
Emery asked carefully. Nesta marveled at the hope and bravery in their faces.
I can hold them off.
No, Gwyn said, voice sharpening. Nesta schooled her features into utter coldness. You are both injured. You will not survive the fight. But you can manage the climb. Emery can help you.
No!
I can use the bottleneck of the path right here. Nesta plowed ahead, pointing to the space beyond the archway. To keep them off long enough for you two to reach the top, or dawn to come, whichever happens first. Gwyn bared her teeth.
I refuse to leave you here.
Emery's pained face told Nesta enough. She understood, saw the logic. Nesta said to Gwyn, it is the only way. Gwyn screamed,
it is not the only way.
And then she was sobbing.
I will not abandon you to them. They will kill you.
You need to go, Nesta said, even as her hands began shaking. Now.
No,
Gwyn wept.
No, I won't. I'll face it with you.
Something deep in Nesta's chest cracked open completely, and what lay within bloomed, full and bright and pure. She wrapped her arms around Gwyn, let her friend sob into her chest.
I'll face it with you,
Gwyn whispered over and over again.
Promise me we'll face it together.
Nesta couldn't stop her tears then. The chill wind froze them on her cheeks.
I promise,
she breathed, stroking Gwyn's matted hair. I promise. Gwyn sobbed, and Nesta let herself sob with her, squeezing her tightly, letting her stroking hand come to rest on Gwyn's neck. A pinch in the right spot, exactly on the pressure point Cassian had shown her, and it was done. Gwyn went down, unconscious. Nesta grunted, carefully lowering Gwyn to the ground as she peered up at Emery. Her friend's face was grave but unsurprised. Nesta only said, can you carry her the rest of the way?
It would be a feat in itself.
Or at least keep going until dawn?
I will.
Nesta knew Emery would find that strength. She had a soul of steel. Emery laid her sword before Nesta, her dagger, the shield.
Keep the canteens,
Nesta said, patting her own. I've got enough. Another lie.
She'll never forgive you for this,
Emery said. I know. The males had risen higher. She didn't wait for Emery to speak before she helped ease Gwyn onto Emery's back, the latter hissing at the weight upon her wings, splaying them at awkward angles. Nesta tied the bloodied rope around them, binding them together. Emery grimaced, but managed to move a few steps.
Come with us,
Emery offered, eyes lined with silver. Nesta shook her head. Consider it the repayment of a debt. A tear slipped down Emery's cheek. For what? For being my friends when I didn't deserve it. Emery's face crumpled. There is no debt, Nesta. But Nesta smiled softly.
There is. Let me pay it.
Swallowing back her tears, Emery nodded, hefted Gwyn higher and winced, but managed to hobble through the arch toward the rocks and the last stretch of the breaking, all the way up to the peak. Nesta did not say goodbye. She just inhaled through her nose, held the breath, then exhaled, repeated her mind-stilling again and again, until her breath became the steady crash of waves and her heart became solid stone, and every inch of her body was hers to control. She was the rock against which the surf broke. These males would break against her too. They had no choice. With Eris in Briallen's grip, Cassian and Asriel could only follow the hunched, cloaked figure to the lake. Cassian didn't dare consider whether the crown was being used on him, if it'd be used on Asriel. The party in which Eris and Briallen had traveled had dispersed, nowhere to be seen along the lake. Had they even been real, or just an illusion? A glance at Az revealed his brother stone-faced, cold fury in his eyes. The hunched, cloaked figure stopped before the stones of the lake. Eris halted beside her.
"Out with it, then," Cassian said.
Briallen drew back the hood of her cloak. There was nothing there. The material fell and pooled on the stones. Eris's face remained blank, empty.
"Just an animated kernel of magic,"
a slithering voice drawled from the lake. 30 feet from shore, standing atop the surface, floated a shadow. It shifted and warped, its edges fluttering, but it had the vague shape of a tall male.
"Who are you?"
Asriel demanded, but Cassian knew.
"Kosjei," he whispered.
Nesta stood under the pass of Aenelius for a long minute. She took out her canteen, drank the last of the water, chucked it to the side. She tucked the dagger into her belt, picked up the sword, and drew a line in the dirt in front of the archway. Her final stand, her last line of defense. Nesta gathered the shield, peered over her shoulder to where Emery had cleared the last cluster of boulders and now struggled up the long, straight path to the peak. A small, quiet smile passed over Nesta's face. Then she hefted her shield, angled her sword, and stepped beyond the line she'd drawn to meet her enemy. Chapter 70. Bellius sent his warriors through the bottleneck first. A wise move designed to wear Nesta down. She had no choice but to meet them. There were no hateful voices in her head, only the knowledge that her friends lay behind her, beyond the line she'd drawn in the earth. And she would not cede that line to these males. She would not fail her friends. She had no room for fear in her heart, only calm, determination, and love. Nesta's lips curved in a smile as the first of the warriors ran at her, sword raised. She was still smiling when she lifted her shield to take the full impact of the blow. Nesta slammed her shield into the first male, sliced the shins of the second, and dispatched the third with a parry that sent him careening into the fourth, and both of them tumbling to the ground. One for each breath. A movement for each inhale and exhale. She stilled her mind again, let it root her. For a heartbeat, she wondered what she might have done with Ataraxia in her hand, what she might do with this body, these skills trained into her bones, if she was worthy of the sword at last. She'd opted for a name in the old language, a tongue no one had spoken in 15,000 years, a name Lanthus had laughed to hear. Nesta engaged 4 of the Illyrians at once, then 5, then 6, and the males started to go down, one after another. Nesta held the line in a storm of unflinching focus and death, guarding the friends at her back. Ataraxia, she had named that magic sword. Inner peace. Chapter 71. The being that stood atop the lake was a shadow.
It must be a reflection, Cassian thought. Smoke and mirrors.
Where is Briallen?
Asriel demanded, siphons flaring like cobalt flame.
I spend so many months preparing for you,
Kostchei crooned.
And you don't even wish to speak to me?
Cassian crossed his arms. Let Eris go, and then we'll talk. He prayed Kostchei didn't know of the made dagger that Eris had again sheathed at his side, that the crown's aura of power had blinded even Briallen to its presence. But if the Death Lord got his hands on it? Fuck. Cassian didn't let himself so much as glance toward the blade.
You fell for it rather easily,
Kostchei went on,
though you took your time making contact. I thought you'd rush in for the kill, brute that you are.
They could make out nothing of him beyond the shadows of his form. Even Asriel's own shadows kept tucked behind his wings. Kostchei laughed, and Asriel stiffened, like his shadows had murmured a warning. His siphons flared again.
Run!
As breathed, and the pure terror in his brother's face had Cassian spreading his wings, readying to launch. But his wings halted, his entire body halted. Asriel grabbed Eris and shot into the skies, the made dagger with them. They had to get it far from Kostchei, yet Cassian could not move. Cassian's siphons glowed like fresh blood, then sputtered out. Asriel shouted his name from high above. Kostchei drifted closer to the shore.
You can take him now, Briallen. You have plenty of time before dawn.
A small hunched figure emerged from behind the trees. A crone. A golden crown sat atop her head, right above her arched ears. Hate burned in her eyes. Kostchei said,
Tell my Vasa, I'm waiting.
His shadows swirled. Asriel soared back toward the ground, his siphons creating a blue orb of power encircling him. But Briallen had already reached Cassian.
I have need of you, Lord of Bastards.
The ancient-looking queen seethed. Cassian could say nothing, couldn't move. The crown glowed like molten iron. Briallen ordered Kostchei.
Winnow us.
The Death Lord pointed a long-fingered hand at Briallen and Cassian, flicked his fingers once. And the world vanished, spinning into blackness and wind. Nesta's shield had become a millstone. Her sword, slick with blood, hung from her hand, a leaden, slippery weight. Every inch of her body burned, with exhaustion, with her wounds, with the knowledge that behind that line she'd drawn in the dirt, through the archway at her back, Gwyn and Emery were still breathing, still climbing that final piece of the breaking to the summit. So she'd killed the Illyrian males who squeezed through those jagged rocks, who believed they'd find an untrained, helpless female, and found death waiting for them before the archway. Only one remained. Some inner part of her quaked at the unseeing, battered faces, the blood running from the corpses. Valkyrie, she whispered to herself, you are a Valkyrie. And once again, you are holding the pass. If you fall, it will be to save the friends who saved you, even when they didn't know they were doing so. A glance over her shoulder showed Emery still scaling the last of the summit, so slow, but so close. Dawn neared, but they could make it, win this thing. Nesta again faced the archway, knew who she'd find. Bellius leaned against a boulder, sword in hand, shield dangling from the other.
Impressive work for a high fey whore.
The male pushed off the rock of the archway, not sparing a glance at the warriors he'd let die for him.
You know,
Our god, the first of the Illyrians, held the ground against the enemy hordes right where you're standing.
There wasn't a scratch on him, no sign of exhaustion despite the climb.
Velius smirked. He drew a line in the dirt as well.
He nodded toward it.
Nice little touch.
Nesta hadn't known that tidbit of their history, but she revealed nothing. She became blood and dirt and pure determination.
It didn't end well for Aenelius,
Velius went on.
He died after defending this spot for 3 days, climbed with his guts hanging out to the sacred stone at the top, and died there. It's why we do this stupid thing, to honor him.
She didn't speak, but Belius's eyes drifted to the peak above. Displeasure narrowed them.
My crippled cunt of a cousin and that half-breed disgrace this sacred place.
A flutter of light from the summit washed over Belius's features. Nesta's lips curled, widened into a smile at Belius's growl. Gwyn and Emery had touched the sacred stone and been winnowed by its magic.
Seems like you didn't win, Nesta said to Belius at last.